Look at your neighbor and tell them a big change is on the way. Hallelujah. Big change is on the way. Romans chapter 12. My subject tonight, when you change your attitude. You know, I've been ministering for quite a few number of years now, but I have found that the mind of man plays an important part in their development as a Christian. Negative talk, it brings demons on the scene. And positive talk, it brings God on the scene. We cannot change our past. We cannot change the facts. We cannot change others. But we can change our attitude. And when we change our attitude, that changes everything. We renew our minds by the Word of God. And as we speak positive words and as we speak faith into the atmosphere, we begin to change the world around us. Too many times we talk the problem and not the promise. A lot of people talk the problems that they're facing, but they never talk the promises. Sister Janet Bradley, you just heard a great testimony on how God had healed her of cancer and the other blessings that are showing up. You know, your words can work for you and your words can work against you. Your attitude can also work for you and your attitude can work against you. And I promise you one thing, your faith will never rise above the words that you confess and the attitude that you exhibit. So I want us to look at Romans 12 and 1, the Apostle Paul talking to us about renewing our mind, presenting ourselves to God. Look at this, Romans 12 and 1. I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. Then he says, and be not conformed to this world. In other words, don't go by the world's standard, go by God's standard. Be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove that good, that acceptable, and the perfect will of God. So you can live in a good will, you can live in the acceptable will of God, or you can live in the perfect will of God. But whatever it takes, Lord, for my will to break, that's what I'll be willing to do. That's why I've been singing that little song to myself. And I asked the Lord this many times. I say, Lord, search me, try me, see if there's any wicked way in me and lead me in the way everlasting. I want to change, and I want to change for the better. I want to change and be conformed to the image of Christ. And the only way I can do that is to renew my word, my mind with the word of God and to seek to become more Christ-like. My subject, when you change your attitude. Let us pray. Father, thank you so much for the wonderful testimonies that come out of this place. And God, many of us, we're at different stages in our Christian growth. And Lord, I have to be reminded, and so do many others, of where we are and who we are, that we're not home yet. We're not in heaven yet, but we're fighting against an adversary called the devil who goes about as a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour. So, Lord, help us to suit up, put on the whole armor, renew our minds with the word of God, gird up the loins of our mind with the truth of your word, and be battle ready at all times. And the church said in Jesus' name, amen. Now, God wants us to live in victory in every area of our life. How many believe that? God wants you to live in victory in every area of your life. Heaven's going to be wonderful, and I'm looking forward to it. But God wants us to live the more abundant life that Jesus has provided while we're still here on planet Earth. He wants us to have happy homes, a happy marriage, healthy relationships, healthy bodies. He wants all of our need to be supplied. God is a good God, and God wants us to enjoy all the benefits of Calvary. And that's why I want to talk to you and talk to myself tonight about our attitude. I want to read you a powerful statement on the power of attitude. And this was written years ago by Charles Swindoll. And I quote, The longer I live, the more I realize the impact of attitude on life. Attitude to me is more important than facts. It is more important than the past, than education, than money, than circumstances, than failure, than success, than what other people think or say or do. It is more important than appearance, giftedness, or skills. It will make or break a company, a church, a home, and could I add, a person. The remarkable thing is we have a choice every day regarding attitude. The attitude we will brace for that day, we cannot change our past. We cannot change the facts that people will act in a certain way. We cannot change the inevitable. The only thing we can do is play the one string we have been given, and that is our attitude. He goes on to say, I'm convinced that life is 10% what happens to me and 90% of how I react to it. End of quote. That's powerful, isn't it? But a right mental attitude will make you an overcomer. But your attitude must be based on the Word of God and what God has to say about you. A right mental attitude is not wishful thinking. A right mental attitude is simply to have a positive expectancy each and every day of your life. Many people in our culture, they talk about the power of positive thinking, but I am not dealing with positive thinking. I am talking about renewing your mind by the Word of God. And when you change your attitude and your attitude changes, it will change everything about your life. See, the Word of God produces faith. And when you have faith in your heart, faith will change your attitude. And if you can get your attitude changed, it will change your altitude. It will help you to live on a higher level, a higher plane than where you were when God found you. When he found me, I was in a mess. I'm going to tell you. I don't know if you've ever had to look up to see the bottom or not, but that's where I was. But my dad gave me that Thompson Chain Reference Bible, and that one word, it just spoke to my heart. God will do anything for his obedient children. And so I purposed at that time to renew my mind and to become the man that God had planned for me to be in life. See, God is a good God, and it takes faith to please God. We're not all at the same level of faith. We're not at the same level on our journey, but we all have faith because everybody in here has been born again. And God has dealt to every person that's ever been born again the measure of faith. And what you do with your measure and what I do with my measure, that is up to us. There are certain things I cannot do for you, but I can help you. And there are certain things you can't do for me, but you can help me. Amen. Look at Hebrews 11:6. It says, but without faith, it is impossible to please him. He that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. So that shows me that God is a good God, and that God is for you. God is for me. And God has great things that he wants to do in each and every one of our lives. God is a good God, and he has promised to bless us. So it's necessary that you and I renew our minds with the Word of God, and then we release our faith. Amen. And the first principle of faith is found right there. Look at Hebrews 11:6 again. It's found right there in that little verse of scripture. It says, but without faith, it is impossible to please him. Here it is. He that cometh to God must believe that he is. The first principle of faith is you must believe that God is. You must believe in an invisible, unseen God, and you must believe that he is, and you must believe that he will reward you if you will diligently seek him. It says, if you diligently seek him, he will reward you openly. That means that other people will see God's blessings in your life. I love to hear the testimonies that come out of this church because people are catching a hold of faith and speaking the promises of God. So God is a good God, and he's a very positive God. I want you to look at 2 Corinthians 1 and 20. It's a powerful verse of scripture. It says, for all the promises of God in him, in Christ, and we're in Christ, in him, a yes and amen unto the glory of God by us. If you are in Christ, God's promises belong to you. It's not on the outline, but 2 Corinthians 5:17. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. The mystery of God had hidden for ages is Christ in you, the hope of glory. So you and I have come into a divine union with God through the rebirth, the new birth that we experience through Jesus Christ our Lord. Now, I didn't count these. This was a figure that Stan Tola gave years ago, and I was in his seminar when he did. But he's in heaven now, so you can't talk to him right now. He said there are 7,497 promises in the Bible. Well, and all of the promises are yes and amen, right? So, and if there are 7,000 plus promises in the Bible, you cannot get any more positive than that. So you and I, we need to get a hold of the promises of God. We need to believe them in our heart, and then we need to start speaking them into the atmosphere. You see, God's word is eternal, and when you hide the word of God in your heart, you will find that it changes the way you think. Our thinking when we got saved, church, it was all messed up. We thought like the world. We ran with the world. We ran with the party crowd. We did some crazy stuff. And it was only the grace of God that some of us survived it. But here we are because of God's amazing grace and God's goodness to us. Amen. And the Bible says, as a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. So I've got to get my thinking conformed to the word of God if I want to be like God wants me to be. I cannot go around doing things that I know are sin and have my life conformed to the image of Jesus Christ. I cannot fail to do what God has said and my mind and my whole being be conformed to the image of Christ. I must do what James said, become a doer of the word. He said, put James 1:22 up there if you can find it, please. James 1:22. He said, if any man be a hearer of the word and not a doer, the same deceiveth himself. In other words, you can't just hear the word. You've got to do what the word says. But he that be ye doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. Some of the most deceived people in the world, they have not been deceived by the devil. They are deceived by themselves. They hear the word, yet they speak like the world speaks. They hear the word, yet they do like the world does. And God can deliver you and give you a million-dollar miracle, but if you don't get your life lined up with the word of God, there is an enemy called the devil. He's going about as a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour. He cannot devour everybody, so he has to seek somebody that is weak. You know, the strong animals, they prey on the weaker animals, and that's the way the devil does. And he's not a lion. He's an imposter. Jesus is the lion. But he goes about as a roaring lion trying to convince you that he has power and authority over you when he has none, because when you made Jesus Christ your Savior, you should have made him your Lord. And when you make him your Lord and your mind becomes renewed by the word of God, all of a sudden your whole attitude toward the world changes, and toward the world of darkness it changes. And you said, I will not go there. I will not do that. I am not going to partake of that. That old man is dead. I put off the old man. I put on the new, which is created in righteousness. And Christ Jesus is my Savior, and he is my Lord. And I'm going to be conformed to his image by renewing my mind with the word of God. Hallelujah. Now, your faith is a powerful spiritual force. And godly faith produces a right mental attitude. And when you change your attitude, everything changes. Do you know I have to constantly work on my attitude? Sometimes Teresa will say something to me about what I said. And I said, well, you better be glad I didn't say what I was thinking. Amen. I mean, we all have to struggle with us. Nobody in here is wearing halos. And the devil, he comes and injects attitudes and he injects thought activity into your mind. And what you have to do is pull out the formula of Philippians 4:8. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, honest, just, lovely, pure, things of virtue, things of praise, things of good report, think on these things. And don't think on the negative, but start thinking on what God has said about you and start doing what God says you should do. And all of a sudden your whole world changes because your attitude has changed that God is a good God. He's not wanting to hurt you. God is for you. Some people think God is waiting for them to make a mistake so he can beat them with a great big baseball bat. No, God is not like that at all. God is for you. Let's look at what Peter says about the mind. 1 Peter 1:3. I love this. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Look at this. According to his abundant mercy, has begotten us again unto a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. And look at this. To an inheritance, incorruptible, undefiled, that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you, who are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation. Now he's coming on down to where we live. Ready to be revealed in the last times. Wherein you greatly rejoice, though now for a season, if need be, you are in heaviness through the manifold temptations. We're all tempted and tested and tried in life. Look at what Peter says about it. That the trial of your faith being much more precious than of gold that perisheth, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ. Trials and tests are coming to everybody. Don't be one of those that says, why does it always happen to me? It happens to you because you've been born again and the devil is looking to devour you, and you better suit up and put on the whole armor of God. You better be battle ready at all times. You can't afford to go over to the club with your friends that are drinking. You can't afford to go over and indulge in the things of darkness because there's a devil waiting to devour you. And many of the problems you face in life, they are because you have not made Jesus Lord. When you make him Lord, you'll say, that old man is dead. I'm not going there. I'm not talking like that anymore. That's not me. I'm a new creation in Christ. And I'm going to renew my mind by the word of God. Now, I want you to look at verse 13, 1 Peter 1:13. Peter's talking very similar to what my text. He says, wherefore, gird up the loins of your mind. Be sober. He's not talking about drunk. He's talking about right thinking. Gird up the loins of your mind. Be sober and hope to the end for the grace that is to be brought unto you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. See, when Jesus comes, we need to be ready. But before he comes, we need to be battle ready at all times. We need to gird up the loins of our mind with the word of God. And Paul said, having done all to stand, stand and see the salvation of the Lord. He said, we're not wrestling flesh and blood, but principalities and powers and rulers of darkness and spiritual wickedness in heavenly places. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God and get ready to fight, because you once were in sin and the devil was your master, but he's not anymore and he's coming. Even Jesus said, the thief cometh, John 10:10, the thief cometh not but to steal, to kill and destroy. He said, that's all right. I'm come to give you life and that more abundantly. So I'm the word. And Jesus said, I want you to take my word and I want you to renew your mind, gird up the loins of your mind and get ready to fight the good fight of faith, because I've given you everything you will ever need to win the battles of life. Now, Peter, he's talking about the trials of our faith, just like Paul. He is saying, you have to renew your mind with the Word of God. See, we all face trials. We all face adverse circumstances. And when these trials come, it appears in the natural that everything seems to go wrong. Is that the way it is with you? That is the way it is when I face these trials. It seems like everything is trying to go wrong, and it comes wave after wave after wave. And that's when you need to stop, and you need to pray. And you need to say, God, is this something that you're wanting me to learn from this? Is this a test or trial that you're allowing in my life? If not, I'm going to work against the devil right now. And I'm going to take the Word of God, just like Jesus did. It is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. And I'm going to start fighting. See, trials and tests come to us all. But you got to know this. God is not the author, and he is not the one that sends the trials and the tests, but Satan is. Job is the oldest book in the Bible. And Job, when he was tested and tried, the devil had to go up and ask permission. He said, you've hedged him in. Hallelujah. I want to live my life in such a way that I'm hedged in. Glory to God. I know the trials and the tests are going to come. And if I never had one of my own, I've got family and I've got friends, and I'm going to have to be girded about my loins with truth, my mind renewed by the Word of God, and suited up to fight this battle that I'm in. And so God doesn't send the trial. The devil does. A lot of the statements that Job made, Job didn't know the narrative. And Job we got the book. Job didn't. He did great concerning the fact he didn't have any scriptures. But we got 66 books to learn from, and we've got a new and a better covenant. So God has given us the Word to help us to win the battles of life. And when you hear the Word of God, the devil comes immediately to steal that Word from you. You've got to understand his modus operandi. That's how he operates. Jesus told an entire parable about it, that the soul went out to sow the Word, the seed, and the seed is the Word of God. I'm a sower. That's what I do. I sow the Word of God. And I at the same time, I've got to be a doer of the Word. You know, I'm in this battle also, and I have to face the same adversary. We all do. And that's why we need the church. That's why we need the body of Christ. That's why we need one another. That's why we're to love one another. That's why we're to help one another. We're to understand that no human being that we ever face is our adversary. It is the devil. He is behind every pain. He is behind every sickness. He is behind every hurt. He is behind every disease. Anything that steals, kills, and destroys, if you go to the root of it, you will find a devil there. And anything that's good, every good and perfect gift comes down from the Father of lights, in whom there is no shadow, no variableness of turning. God says, I am the Lord, I change not. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday and today and forever. He's no respect of person. And if you'll study to show yourself approved and renew your mind with the Word of God, eyes not seen, ears not heard, it's not even entered the hearts of man, the things God has prepared for those that love him. I was talking to several people today, but I told one individual, I said, I read this from a man who was a slave, George Washington Carver, the peanut man. You've heard me say it many times. Start where you are. Get over your pity party. Start where you are. Use what you have. Make something of it. And never be satisfied. And don't be what you ain't. Be what you is. Because if you is not what you am not what you is. Just be the best you that you can be. And I promise you, something will change in your life, your attitude and your thinking will change. And when that changes, it'll change your altitude. You'll begin to soar up on wings like an eagle. Hallelujah. They that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. See, God does it just the opposite. We start out crawling and then walking and then running. God says, no, I want you to run. And then you can just slow down a little bit and walk this thing on out. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Because I'm for you. And if I'm for you, who can be against you? And don't use your mouth and kill yourself. The miracle is in your mouth. The miracle is in your tongue. The life, power and death, life of power and death are in the tongue. Hallelujah. So don't get hung by the tongue. Hallelujah. God knows the thoughts and intents of our heart. So when you hear the word of God, the devil comes to get that word. It's not God. I mean, God's not testing you and trying you. God knows the very thought and intent of our heart. He knows our lying down and our rising up. And he knows that we have faith because he gave it to us. Every one of us in here born again. There's not a person under the sound of my voice in this sanctuary that hasn't been saved. You may not have obtained and you may not have risen above where you were when you got saved. That's what the devil will tell you. But you've been hearing the word. If you start doing the word and change your attitude, your altitude will change. You begin to soar. God knows our lying down and our rising up. So he does not have to send trials to find out whether or not we believe. He knows. The devil doesn't know. I can promise you he doesn't know. I'll never forget when I was a new Christian. I had problems. I mean, I had big problems. I was fighting a lot of battles. But I got along with God and I got that book out my daddy gave me. God will do anything for his obedient children. I began to look at all those promises. And I'll never forget one day I walked into my mother's house and she pointed her finger at me. I hadn't said a word. Hadn't opened my mouth. But I had such joy. People would tell me, you can't have all that joy. I said, I got it. They said, but you can't have it. I said, well, I got it. They said, but you can't have it. Finally, I told one person, I said, that's like telling a man that has $1 million in the bank that he can't have $1 million and he's got millions. I said, I've got the joy of the Lord, praise God. He said, well, you got to go through tests and trials. I said, well, I got it, brother. You tell him I can't have something that I got. And I walked in my mother's house, never opened my mouth. She pointed her little finger at me. She said, son, the same Jesus that took your sin will take that problem if you will only give it to him. I knew that was God speaking. I mean, my mother read my mail. I know, I tell you, that woman full of the Holy Ghost. I knew when she said something to me, I knew I better get my stuff straight. Now, that was when I was in sin. But I knew that was God talking to me, and I came back to Wilson. I got under an old oak tree, and I began to praise God. And I said, God, I know you were talking to me, and I'm not leaving here till you have my problem and I have my joy back. And I stayed there to 3 a.m., shouting, dancing, speaking in tongues, praising God all by myself. And out of that trial came my first sermon. Out of that came about 10 songs. Poetry floated up out of my insides. And I learned something about God, that God would be whatever I would let him be in my life, because he told me that. And I have tested this thing and I've tried this thing and I have found out God's word is true. And if God would do that for me, God will do that for anybody. And he sent me to exhort people, to preach to people, to teach people how good God is so that they can win the same victories in life. God is a good God. And I'm talking to people that know how good God is. See, it's the devil who sends the trial. He doesn't know where you stand. He's just testing you. And one of the way he finds out is when he tries our faith. If I had not heard God speak through my mother, I would have gone around with the mullet grubs for the rest of my life, and my life would have taken an entirely different course. But I heard God, and God was showing me the power of His Word. And God was showing me the power of praise. That was my first introduction to praise. As I really began to praise God, and I just started dancing in the Spirit. Nobody to criticize me and say he's in the flesh, speaking in tongues. Just, hallelujah. And the stars would come out of their silver sockets and shoot across the sky. I say, look at my Father. He's awesome in glory. Woo! And another one would come out and shoot across that way. I said, praise God. The stars declare His glory. I've been reading my Bible. I had a lot of Bible inside of me I didn't even know. There's a lot more in you than you realize. And you need to take the book and renew your thinking and change your conversation. Hallelujah. See, the devil doesn't know what you're going to do until he puts the pressure on you. Even then, guess what? You don't have to yield to that pressure. He does not know what you're going to do until he tries you and puts the pressure on you. But you don't have to yield to it. But God is able to work all things to our good. So I love Romans 8:28. If you can find it, put it up there. Romans 8:28. It's a law. And if you're born again, it's working for you. For we know that all things, say all things, not just the good, all things work together for good to them that love God, to those who are the called according to His purpose. So if you're living according to the call on your life and living according to the purpose that God has for your life, God is going to work everything to your good. I didn't understand that at first. I said, God, I'm a brand new Christian. I said, how can this thing be working to my good? But your word says it's working to my good. And I got hold of another translation. It says, in everything we face, God is able to work it to our good. And that makes a whole lot more sense, doesn't it? Whatever you're facing, God will work it to your good. See, you can resist the devil. The Bible says, draw nigh to God. God will draw nigh to you. Resist the devil, he will flee from you. The Bible says, trust in the Lord with all thine heart. Lean not to thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him. And he shall bring it past. He shall bring forth thy righteousness as the light and thy judgment as the noonday. That God that we serve, if we will trust him and say what God says, he will do the work. The Bible says, delight yourself in the Lord, and he will give you the desires of your heart. Commit your ways unto the Lord. Trust also in him. Have you committed everything in your life to the Lord? Whatever it takes, Lord, for my will to break, that is what I'm willing to do. I am tired of sitting on the throne of my heart. I am tired of allowing other things to sit on the throne of my heart. And I've come to the end of myself. And God, I'm going to take your word. I'm going to renew my mind. And I'm going to let you sit on the throne of my heart, your rightful place. And I'm going to love you with all my heart, soul, mind, body, and strength. God, I'm yours from this moment forth. Hallelujah. Go on praising. Delight yourself in the Lord. He'll give you the desires of your heart. Commit your ways unto the Lord. He'll bring it to pass. Hallelujah. You know, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, they were thrown into the fire's furnace. These three men, they had the right faith, and they had a right mental attitude. And they told King Nebuchadnezzar, the God whom we serve is able to deliver us from this burning fiery furnace. And not only that, he is able to deliver us out of your hand. They weren't disrespectful. They were just bragging on God. He's able to deliver us out of your hand, O king. But if not, we will not bow to your gods. And we will not worship the golden image. Now, that's faith talking right there. I will not do that. I am going to serve God. I know what God said. I know what his word says. I know what I'm to do. My mind has been renewed by the word of God. I'm a doer of the word, not a hearer. And this is what I'm going to do. And when I do this, this is what God's going to do. Hallelujah. He's going to deliver me. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Not only is he able to deliver us out of your hand, but if not, I like that, we will not bow to your gods or worship the golden image. Look at Daniel 3:17. Listen to their faith. Listen to this faith talk. If it be so, our God whom we serve is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace. And he will deliver us out of thy hand, O king. But if not, be it known unto you, O king, that we will not serve thy gods nor worship the golden image which thou hast set up. These young men were in the trial of their life. They were in a foreign land. That was Daniel there with them. Thank God for Daniel's. Daniel was God's man. But these were Daniel's friends. And when Daniel got ready to interpret the king's dream, he called them together. See, that's strength and unity. You need the church. You need to be here every time the door's open. I need the church. We all need one another. Iron sharpens iron. And your prayer and my prayer, who knows who prayed the prayer that healed Sister Janet Bradley? None of us do. We just know that God is good. Hallelujah. And he's good all the time. And he can do anything he chooses, anytime he chooses. And if not, we will not bow and we will not burn. We will trust God. Hallelujah. We commit our ways unto God. Amen. See, these young men, they endured the trial. They didn't bow. They didn't burn. They didn't bend. Their faith and the right mental attitude got the attention of God. And all of a sudden, the fourth man, like unto the Son of Man, his name is Jesus. He showed up in the midst of the trial. Hallelujah. There was not a hair on their head that was singed. They didn't even have the smell of smoke upon them. And they came out of that trial bringing glory and honor to God Almighty. Hallelujah. I imagine they were shouting, dancing, and singing. Not only is our God able, but praise God, he has delivered us from the hand of the enemy. Why did God do that? Because they went in there with faith. They went in with a right mental attitude. They went in with a positive confession. Your faith will never rise above what you say. It doesn't matter what you say. And they said, our God is able and our God will deliver us. King, we're not being disrespectful. But King Nebuchadnezzar, it doesn't matter what you say. It only matters what our God has said. And we will not bow. You can put all the pressure on you want to, but we will not bow except to the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. And when you get to that place, you're in victory territory. Hallelujah. See, they left the door of faith wide open. And God walked through that door of faith. And God did what he wanted to do. Without faith, it's impossible to please him. He that cometh to God must believe that he is, that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. He delivered them from their trial. The favor of God will keep you through the trials of life. But God's favor does not exempt you from the trials of life. I say it many times, how would you know you're an overcomer if you've never had anything to overcome? Having God's favor on your life does not mean that you will never face heavy challenges. But what it does mean is this, that you will not be destroyed by the trials and the challenges of life, but God will bring you forth more than a conqueror. And so right in the midst of your tests and trials, you need to declare what we do every time we leave here. Say it with me. I am blessed and highly favored of God. Say it again. I'm blessed and highly favored of God. That's why we say that over and over here at Westmoreland. Hallelujah. And there's a connection between the declaration of God's favor and the manifestation of God's favor in your life. Let me show you how this principle works. Psalms 91:1. I love Psalms 91. He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. Where do you dwell? I dwell under the shadow, under the wings of the Almighty God. Now, I want you to notice verse 2. I will say of the Lord. I like that. I will say. So you have a say. Now look at verse 3. I want you to notice verse 3. It starts at, surely he shall. Now watch this. The psalmist said, I will say something as a result of what I say. God is going to do something with my words. I will say and he shall do. I will say and he shall do. Notice the connection between that declaration and the manifestation. I love Psalms 91. He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, he is my refuge, my fortress, my God. In him will I trust. I will say, surely he shall deliver me from the snare of the fowler, from the noise and pestilence. He shall cover me with his feathers, and under his wing shall I abide. I'm in the secret place. Devil, you might be coming, and you've got some weapons, but let me tell you, I got the blood. I got the word. I got the name of Jesus. I got the Holy Ghost and fire. I got some mighty powerful weapons. Hallelujah. And I'm going to say what God says, and God's going to do what God said he would do. I'm going to resist you, and you're going to flee from me in Jesus' name. And I'm coming forth more than a conqueror, because that's who I am. I am what God said I am. I have what God said I have. I can do what God said I can do. And I can do all things through Christ, which strengthens me. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Jesus said, whosoever shall say unto this mountain. You got to say in this thing. What is your mountain tonight? Whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed and be thou cast into the sea, shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe those things which he saith shall come to pass. He shall have whatsoever he saith. I want our musicians to come back if they would. See, the favor of God is on your life. You've got to learn how to use it. I want to show you one last scripture. I want you to see this principle. Isaiah 45:11. Isaiah 45:11. Thus saith the Lord, the Holy One of Israel and his maker. Ask of me things to come concerning my sons, and concerning the works of my hand command you me. Now we don't command God to do anything. We just take what God has already said, and we command what he's already said to come to pass. He said, concerning my word. He says, concerning me, concerning the works of my hand, command you me. The Bible says that life and death in the power of the tongue. So there's a divine connection between what you say and what you receive from the hand of God. Let me say that again. There's a divine connection between what you say and what you receive from the hand of God. Church, when we confess the word of God, God does supernatural things. I say it, and he shall deliver me. I will say, and he shall do. I say it, and he shall bless me. I say it, and he shall bring success into my life. I say it, and he does it. It's not enough to have faith in your heart only. Faith must be in two places. It must be in your heart and in your mouth. With the heart, man believeth unto righteousness. With the mouth, confession is made unto it. I don't want to just believe in salvation. I want to get unto it. I don't want to just believe in sanctification and being delivered. I want to get unto it. I don't want to just believe in being filled with the Holy Ghost and have manifestation gifts. I want to get unto it. I don't want to just believe in prosperity. I want to get unto it. With the heart, man believes, and with the mouth, he confesses. I will say, and God shall do. Why? Because I dwell in the secret place of the Most High, and I'm renewing my mind with the word of God. Bless them. Hallelujah. Testing 1, 2. Okay. I'm a new creation. I'm a brand new man. Yeah.
I'm a new creation. I'm a brand new man. Old things are passed away. I've been born again. More than a conqueror, that's who I am. I'm a new creation. I'm a brand new man. I'm a new creation. I'm a brand new man. Old things are passed away. I've been born again. More than a conqueror, that's who I am. I'm a new creation. I'm a brand new man. I'm a new creation. I'm a brand new man. Old things are passed away. I've been born again. More than a conqueror, that's who I am. I'm a new creation. I'm a brand new man.
Can we sing? Can I sing one? But stay on track. Okay, I'm come on up, baby. We're gonna do I am healed, I am whole. From the top of my head to the sole to the tip of my toe. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. How many is healed out there tonight? We'll heal because the Word of God says we're healed. Hallelujah. We just agree with what God says. Hallelujah. Hadn't sung a song in a while, so anyway, we're going to try it tonight. I am healed, I am whole. The enemy's always trying to put me down, lying every step of the way, saying that my faith is unsound, telling me to be careful what you say. But I believe that I received my help, that the prayer of faith was prayed for me. I believe that when I heard amen, that to me resounded victory. I am healed, I am whole, from the top of my head to the sole to the tip of my toe. 1 Peter 2:24 says we were, and if we were, then I am. I am healed, I am whole, from the top of my head to the sole to the tip of my toe. Boy, don't that sound good? Sickness has to flee.
Amen.
'Cause I'm tired of being sick and tired. Our wicked powers and principalities. Jesus and the cross. Work at Calvary. 'Cause I know he paid the total cost.
Yes, he did.
I can sing a song of victory. Yes, I am healed. I am whole. From the top of my head to the sole to the tip of my toe. 1 Peter 2:24 says we were. And if we were, then I am. I am healed, I am whole. From the top of my head to the sole to the tip of my toe. I am healed, I am whole. From the top of my head to the sole to the tip of my toe. 1 Peter 2:24 says we were. And if we were, then I am. I am healed, I am whole. From the top
top of my head to the sole to the tip of my toe. From the top of my head to the sole to the tip of my toe.
Hallelujah. Glory to God. Thank you so much. I am healed. I am whole. I am who God said I am. I have what God said I have. And we can do what God said we can do. Amen. I want to remind you that this coming Sunday morning, Eunice Jones will be here doing Fanny Crosby First Person. And it's going to be a great day in the Lord. We're going to sing some of her songs. And then Sister Jones, she will sing some of those songs during her presentation. I saw this at Nashville Bible College. I'm hoping to be able to get Dr. Mike Clark here, too. Any of you here want to get a education, want to go on and get a master's in theology, a bachelor's degree in theology, a master's degree in theology, a doctorate degree in theology, then he's the man to talk to. And that Sunday night, we will have Reverend Paul Action Jackson. I talked to him today. He's looking forward to coming. And Steve Shuler will be here doing some music. Brother Cooper Peacock will be leading some praise and worship songs. And we're just going to have a great day in the Lord. So invite a lot of your friends, and we'll have it all posted on Facebook. But come expecting a blessing from God. Amen. Brother Philip Pearson, would you come, please, and just dismiss us with a word of prayer? We appreciate what you do, working with our young people and all your commanders. Amen. Thank you so much.
Heavenly Father, we just thank you tonight for the privilege this hour to still gather in your name, in your house, without fear of persecution. Lord, we don't know how much longer that's going to be afforded to us, but we want to take advantage of every opportunity. Bless, Lord, we pray. Guide us this week. Protect us as we go outside the walls of this church. Help us to have a go ye in our spirit and a testimony to share with the world in Jesus' name. Amen.
Look at three people and tell them, you're blessed and highly favored of God. You are blessed and highly favored of God. You are blessed, 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 and highly favored of God.